Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Listen to that. Nothing beats a vinyl.
Some technology just stands the test of time. Our technology not only brings the cool, it also brings the heat. At Mitsubishi Electric, we've been mastering and innovating heat pump technology since 1970. EcoDan, continued innovation in heating for home and business. Mitsubishi Electric, changes for the better.
Warning, each episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast will contain descriptions of acts of violence or of a sexual nature and are for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off the internet or from some television show. These facts I'm retelling were presented to me by the victims of the crime or the perpetrators who committed the crimes. My descriptions of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you are going to get offended, turn this podcast off now. Thank you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. Before we get started on today's episode, I want to make an announcement and let y'all know to tune in at the end of the episode. Don't quit listening, because I'll be making several announcements to our patron members and our fans and giving some shout outs and stuff like that. So stay tuned at the end of today's episode. And with that, let's get started. On June 20th, 2003, I was working as a deputy in the Uniform Patrol Division for the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office. However, on this day, it was a Friday, I was off duty, having worked the Wednesday night and the Thursday night before this day, and I lived in the town of Albany, Louisiana, which is the easternmost town in Livingston Parish, right before you cross into Tangipahoa Parish. Maybe the town limits in maybe a half a mile from the Tangipahoa Parish line. So I was living in an apartment, kind of in the heart of town, if you will. Let me describe Albany to you. This is classic small town America. It only had one grocery store. It had one local hamburger joint, Erdy's, where everybody would go for your hamburgers and your french fries and your ice cream or whatever. It had the one gas station, which was, I believe, a Junior Food Mart at the time, and had the absolute best fried chicken. Anyway, Junior Food Mart had the best fried chicken, and I would always get a four-piece spicy and a large fry. But Erdy's had the best hamburger, and there was one little grocery store, and I didn't do much cooking at the time. I was a bachelor. you had the high school and the middle school and the elementary were right there in the heart of town together. And almost directly across the street from that is the police station and the fire department. And next door to that is the Justice of the Peace and the slash barbershop, et cetera, that I mentioned on the Highline episode. And it was just small town America. They had another little convenience store. I think it was just south of the town limits. So, but it was small town America. There was one diner that was open early in the morning where all the locals would meet up and had their coffee and their breakfast, et cetera. But it was closed by the end of lunchtime. And Highway 190 ran right through the north edge of town from east to west, as well as a set of railroad tracks, which were right off of Highway 190. And Louisiana Highway 43 ran north to south through the town limits. And that was a major thoroughfare, y'all. It's just a small town. Everybody knew everybody, and Friday night football was big, and baseball, and, you know, just small town America. Really, really good people. Very low crime rate. And the police department consisted of the Chief Russell Hutchinson, who had been there forever, and I think is still there today. And it has to be one of the longest running chief of police in the state of Louisiana, and Assistant Chief Ronnie Gregoire, and they were full-time employees. And then they had two part-time employees. One was Leon Winstead, is an awesome friend of mine. I actually stood in his wedding. He was single on June the 20th. He was single, and he actually had the apartment two doors down from mine. So we were just super tight, running buddies. And great guy, great cop, but his main job was he was an engineer on a riverboat on the Mississippi River. But on his days off, he would do the Albany Police Department, certainly not because he needed the money, but because he loved to be a cop. And the Albany Police Department's call signs, like mine was LP361, Livingston Parish 361, my unit number. Theirs were AP, Albany Police, and their numbers. And Leon's was AP4. What a great cop. We used to have so much fun. And then the other part-time was Robbie Ellis. And he was a full-time flooring guy. And he did it pretty much the same thing. Not because he needed the money, but because he loved policing. Now, at the time, on the east side of the parish, which is Livingston Parish, was split geographically east to west. For law enforcement purposes. And the east side of the parish, generally, the sheriff's office would have two deputies, 10-8, or on duty at a time, sometimes maybe three if the shift was full. And so if you called any kind of major call over on the east side of the parish, the town cops, which were Albany and Springfield and Killian, well, oftentimes that was your only backup. You know, your partner might be. The east side of the parish geographically is huge. I mean, you might be way up north, 20 miles from your partner when he catches a 911 disturbance down south, and they didn't have any backup. So the town guys would roll out and back you up. So we became really, really close with them. And I was really close with the Albany guys. Not only did I live there, but go hang out. When the calls would slow down, sometimes I would stop in, hang out at the Albany PD. And Chief Russell was just funnier than hell. And Ronnie Gregoire was a pretty good character also. And of course, like I said, Leon. And Robbie was good guys, right? Just small town. So actually, let me tell you this. At nighttime, the full-time guys would go in. But either one of them would be on call. It would be either the Chief Russell or Assistant Chief Ronnie Gregoire. And they alternated out, right? So the chief told me one time, he said, Woody, I always make my schedule to be on call when I know you're on duty. He said, I want to be on call overnight when you're on duty because I know you'll never call me out for anything. He said, if anything happens in town, you come and handle it and you arrest them and I don't have to worry about anything. He said, but you believe one thing. If you have to call me out, somebody's going to jail. Russell's a super good cop, man. He's just old school and patient. And never see him get excited about anything. But in a time where everybody has semi-automatics, Russell had a old revolver. I remember that clearly. I was like Chief, why don't you carry a Glock or what, a Beretta or whatever? And he said, because the revolver will never hang up. He said, it'll never jam like your pistol will. Point taken. So back to it. On June 20th, 2003, it was hotter than hell. I remember that from the night before. We're really getting into the heart of summer, and July and August get a little bit worse. But it was wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was a bright, hot day. And I had gotten off that morning at 6 a.m. And that would be the one day, Friday, a week that I didn't have to go in for court for people that are arrested to testify, et cetera. Usually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I'd have to go in to court and handle whatever cases, motions to suppress or whatever, testify and whatever the cases may be. But Fridays, I looked forward to because I knew I was going to be off. And I would get in and have something to eat and watch a little TV and go to bed about 7, maybe 8 o'clock a.m. and generally wake up 2 or 3. So I was up and I had my radio on charge. Now, when I would come in my door, I'd take off my gun belt and I had a nail inside the door and I hung my gun belt on the wall, right? It's a really heavy thing. So you got 2 pair of handcuffs and your ASP baton and your freeze plus P and your 2 extra magazines for ammunition and then your duty weapon and your flashlight and shit. The belt itself weighed probably 5 or 6 pounds. You add all that stuff and it's a lot of weight, but I hung it inside the door on the wall, and then I would take my radio off the belt and put it on the charger on the countertop in my kitchen, which was a small apartment. And so I would turn it on when I got up and listen. Just kind of always in the background was the radio in case something bad ever broke off. But that afternoon, about 4:45, something like that, the Livingston Parish dispatch came over and said, all units, there is a 64G in progress at the Hibernia Bank in Albany. Now, if I stepped outside my apartment door, I could throw a rock almost and hit the Hibernia Bank. And at the same time, the Albany Police Department, and that's how close we all were together. Less than a quarter mile, I would say. So I threw on some jeans and shoes and I grabbed my radio and my gun belt and I ran out the door and got in my unit. About 10 minutes earlier, inside the Hibernia Bank, there were 4 employees. One whose initials I'm going to use, CI, then another lady named Teresa Rogers, and another lady, Michelle Creko, K-R-E-K-O, and Lucy Henwinkle, were working inside the bank. And one customer came in, Michael Threaten. He came in to cash his paychecks Friday afternoon, right? At the same time, they had an older model Cutlass, Oldsmobile Cutlass vehicle pull up to the bank. Now, this bank parking lot, you couldn't pull, when you pulled in, you could not park directly in front of the bank. The bank faced Highway 190, but it had grass in front, and you had to pull into the parking lot, which was, if you're facing the bank, parking lot's on the right-hand side. You have to park on the right-hand side and get out and walk the walkway to the front of the building. And along that walkway is the ATM, which is on the exterior of the building. But the Blue Olds pulls up, and 3 black males get out, dressed in all black. As they approach the door, the 3 males put on black ski masks, actually as they were entering the door. And the last one was pulling down his mask. Enter the bank, and they start screaming, stick up, get out, motherfuckers. And it just pointing the guns in the employees' faces. One of the males jumps the counter immediately and starts to empty the cash drawers. The other male put the customer and one of the employees down at gunpoint on the floor. Third male, who appeared to be the leader of the ring, made CI get on the floor and told her to get on her hands and knees. Now, meanwhile, they're screaming and hollering and cussing and the employees are begging for their lives. And the one that made CI get on the floor on her hands and knees, I mean, it's kind of an awkward, not an awkward, but a odd instruction for a robber to tell somebody to get on their hands and knees. And CI was.
All right, guys, we've never had an intervention on the show, but we're going to have one right now. And this applies to both of you guys, but perhaps a bit more to Mr. Overton.
Must be alcohol.
Well, you know, neither of you guys are 25 anymore, and sometimes you need to take a break away from the alcohol.
Oh, Lord.
So I want to talk to you about a healthy alternative to alcohol that can be just the right fix after a stressful day. You know, Woody, like a day after 10 crazies from Wisconsin come into town to kill 1,000 wild boars, and you idiots end up killing 1,000 Shiner Box at the same time.
That's going to happen.
Well, I know it is. And so I want to tell you about a product called Recess Mood. Think about it. Even the name sounds relaxing. Recess Mood is a delicious sparkling water infused with functional ingredients like mood-lifting magnesium and stress-balancing adaptogens, so you can relax without the alcohol or the hangover. Now, while Jim is looking up the meaning of adaptogens, I'll continue on. Real Life Real Crime and the Daily Show listeners get 15% off the Recess Mood Sampler Pack at takearecess.com/RLRC. That's takearecess.com/RLRC. You can enjoy Recess Mood after a busy day or whatever you need to relax and unwind. Recess Mood is made with real fruit and comes in four delicious flavors like strawberry rose and raspberry lemon. Those sound yummy.
Yeah.
It's only got 20 calories, doesn't have any sugar in it. So I don't know if you've ever had guilt, Woody, but if you do, Recess Mood could help you get rid of it.
Guilt, but I've had the pain of not having recess.
Okay, well, you deserve a healthier way to unwind. Head to takearecess.com/RLRC and get 15% off a Recess Mood sampler pack. It's your go-to alcohol replacement. Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different. And in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
She's an attractive female. The robber told her to get on her hands and knees. And when she did, he reached down and started rubbing her on her genital area. And when she screamed, he said, "Shut up, you fucking bitch. I'll fucking kill you," and put the gun to her head. Once the robber behind the counter cleared out the drawers, they demanded to know who the manager was, which was Teresa Rogers. And the one who was rubbing CI's private area, her genitals, took Rogers to the vault door and demanded her open it. "Open the door, bitch. Open this vault, bitch." And Rogers was so nervous that she was fumbling to get the vault open. And the robber puts the gun to her head and says, "You fucking bitch, I'm going to blow your fucking brains out if you don't open it." And so she was able to open the door. But she, like all of them, later stated she thought she was going to be killed. And she got the vault door open, and they were able to make entry into the vault. They grabbed a bunch of money, and then they ran back out the front door. While right before they ran back out the front door, a Livingston Parish Sheriff's deputy who was getting off of work, she worked in a courthouse, Miss Linda Brown, pulled up and is getting out of her vehicle, preparing to walk up to the ATM. And lo and behold, running out of the door come three males with dressed in dark clothing, wearing ski masks and carrying guns in large bags full of money. Thank God they didn't see her or shoot her or whatever. She didn't carry a firearm. And like I said, she worked in the courthouse and was a really sweet lady. So they jump into the older model Cutlass and drive off eastbound on Highway 190 towards the Tangipahoa Parish, Livingston Parish line. Now, Miss Linda saw that the vehicle had a temporary license plate duct taped, actually, onto the car. It was a Wisconsin plate, okay, a temporary license plate from Wisconsin, which stood out like a sore thumb. And so they speed away, if you will, towards the parish line. Now, at the same time, the employees, of course, hit the buzzer for 911. It goes into the dispatch for Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office. And that's when they made the call out, this 64G in progress, Hibernia Bank. And like I stated earlier, I'm running out the door as quickly as possible and pull up to the bank. I mean, I jump in my unit, I hit it. I mean, I'm there. But when I'm pulling up, both Chief Hutchison and Ronnie Gregoire are pulling up at the same time. And they go in, and I mean, everybody's shook up. Those ladies really thought they were going to die. An armed robbery is actually a crime of violence, even if they don't shoot anyone. And it's considered a crime of violence in the state of Louisiana, because it mentally, it injures you. Okay. It's mentally violent. And these guys were classic on that. They came in, they established control by force, which is putting, even though it's not physical force, they didn't touch them at that point, putting guns in people's faces and making them get down on the floor. Then you got the one pervert who likes the way CI looks and makes her get on her hands or knees and takes the time to violate her sexually by rubbing her private area, her genital area. And when she screams, he "Shut up, you fucking bitch. I'll blow your head off." Right. Anyway, so they're headed eastbound on Highway 190 towards the Tangipahoa line. Now everybody's starting to respond, right? When that call goes out, they did it on both tacks, which means the west side of the parish was on tack one. That's just radio channels, y'all. And the east side on tack two. Well, when that goes out, they 1033 the net for tack two, which covered the east side, which means emergency traffic only. So everybody else switches over to tack one to do their regular communications. But everybody is going to respond to this. All your town police, Killian, Springfield, Livingston, actually has its own police department in the town of Livingston, and whatever guys were free on the west side, plus everybody like me that worked for the sheriff's office or any type of law enforcement that had their radio on, they're all responding, right? I mean, it's not a question of getting paid or whatever at this time. This you do the job because you love it. So we get there, and Miss Linda tells us the vehicle and the direction that it that drove away, which, y'all, on the Parrish line, if you take Highway 190 towards the Parrish line, and right before you get to the Parrish line, you take a left across the railroad tracks onto what they call North Cafe Line Road. It is a long, straight road. It's probably 3 to 4 miles long. And as you go down, it's pretty rural at the beginning of it. There's like one bar that's only open on weekends that's on the left, and a couple houses spread out on the right and left for the first mile or two. Then it starts to become more populated and turns into one of the only, what's kind of known as the hoods in Livingston Parish. And it just gets into poor area, if you will. And that's where we had a lot of trouble with our crack dealing and stuff like that. That one section of North Cafe Line Road. There are two roads that turn to the right. There's no roads that go to the left off of Cafe Line Road. It's just a field or homes. The first road that you come to is Ed Brown Road. And you take that right, and Ed Brown Road actually runs from east to west, or actually west to east, for like not even two blocks. And then there's the Parrish line. There's a four-way intersection. And right there, if you cross over the intersection that through the four-way, that's Tangipahoa Parish. Or you can take a left. It's a gravel road. You take a left, and it runs just like North Cafe Line from south to north until it dead ends probably 2 miles down. If you pass up Ed Brown, about a half a mile up, there's one more unnamed gravel road you can take a right on. There's no houses on it that comes back up to the Ed Brown Road. Okay. So we couldn't say for certain, but naturally that's where we're going to go look first. Plus, we alerted Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office. And a lot of times when we'd have to catch calls down in the hood off of Cafe Line Road and we were by ourselves, if we would get out and have somebody at gunpoint or whatever, Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office deputies, because the line is right there, would be our backup, as well as the Albany police if they were available. If they weren't, the dispatch would call Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Office and they would have their guys respond. So everybody's looking for this vehicle with the temp license plate, and Ronnie Gregoire and I roll that away. So we turn on North Cafe Line Road and we're jetting down, and we come to Ed Brown, and I tell him, I say, hey, I'm gonna peel off on Ed Brown. He said, I'm gonna go up to the gravel road, and you know, the next one I told you about. So I turn on Ed Brown, and then I hear, I don't make it to the four-way, to the Parrish line, and I hear Assistant Chief Gregoire on the radio screaming, I got a vehicle driving away. I got one to hit the woods. The car is here. So turn and run in that direction. He gave a description of the vehicle. He actually got the license plate off of it. What happened was, when he turned on the road, that vehicle was parked there, those Cutlass with the temporary Wisconsin tag. Well, why is he parked on that street? Because there's no one on it. It's not even a street. It's just a little, like a gravel pathway that connects the two roads, and it's very secluded. And when he turned onto the road, there was another car parked beside the Cutlass. And when he turns on and he sees them, he's like, oh shit, man, he knows they're armed, right? And he calls it in, stops, and he's taking the defensive position by getting out with his pistol. And two of the males jump into the car that was parked beside the Cutlass, and that car hauls ass. Well, it didn't come my way because I was coming down Ed Brown the other way and I didn't see him. So they must have took that left and then got back on North Cafe line. But one of them, you know, because when the chief started screaming commands and had him at gunpoint, he panicked and hit the woods. But he was carrying bags full of money. And so we try to get there and set up a perimeter for the one guy that we have instead of chasing the vehicle. We don't know where it's at, but he had the license plate for it and called in a bolo or be on the lookout for that vehicle. And so we try to set up a perimeter, and people responded. And once we had the perimeter set up, what we thought was a good perimeter, we approached the vehicle to clear it. Now, inside the vehicle, the Wisconsin's temporary plate, duct tape to it, there were numerous bank wrappers for money, that like take a stack of $1,000 or whatever. All the ones that obviously they pulled there and they stopped and they were
unloading the money, peeling off the wrappers from the money, et cetera, and trying to divide it up. But there were bank wrappers in the car from Hibernia Bank, numerous that had been torn. There were two pistols, which turned out to be cap guns. And then there was another pistol, which was a real pistol. Once the perimeter was set up and the K-9 got there and they went into the woods to do the track, they found a bag and some scattered money inside the woods. So this guy panicked so hard that he actually dropped a large amount of money in the woods, and they're on the run, right? So that manhunt is going on. Meanwhile, Chief Russell has the license plate of the vehicle the other two drove away in. So the chief and other investigators run the license plate, and they were able to track down the owner of the vehicle that left the gravel road with the two bad guys in it. Actually, it was a driver and the two bad guys. And they track down the driver, and the driver takes them to a trailer park where he dropped off the two bad guys. Okay, now the driver knows he's in a shit pile of trouble. Back then, cell phones weren't so prevalent as they are now, right? But anyway, they had to be involved somehow. Now, it's believed that the driver of that getaway car probably was involved as a lookout in the bank robbery, because one of the dumbass criminals left a walkie-talkie in the bank in the excitement of the robbery. Well, there's no reason to have a walkie-talkie unless you have somebody else that's helping. Now, that's never able to be proven. You know why? Because believe it or not, even in 2003, and you've heard me talk about cameras before, 2003, inside the Hibernia Bank, fucking cameras weren't working. Can you believe that? Inside a bank on a Friday, which typically banks are going to hold their most money on Fridays because people come to cash their paychecks, etc. The inside cameras weren't working. Outside cameras, yes. Inside cameras, no. Go fucking explain that to your insurance company. Well, I don't get it. I just will never, ever understand why places have cameras that don't work. Just like in the Christopher Pell story, Until Death Do Us Part, that I did that episode, the Popeyes. Kills his wife violently inside the Popeyes, and the fucking cameras aren't working. I don't get it. So back to Hibernia. Inside, we can't say, other than what the eyewitnesses told us, exactly what happened in the sequence was, or you can't prove it, other than from witness testimony, because you got damn cameras don't work. Anyway, so one of them leaves a radio behind, which tells me they had contact with the outside, which is kind of smart. I mean, if I'm going to rob a bank, certainly I'm going to have somebody outside looking for the police and communicating with me. But, you know, they couldn't prove it. That guy cooperated and took him to the trailer. The trailer owner said that one of the suspects was there dressed in the dark clothing and was acting nervous and wanted to get out of the area extremely quickly. The trailer owner takes that suspect and gets him a hotel room. All right, so the investigation is still rolling. They roll to the hotel, and I mean, y'all, you got to remember this is hours later after the fact, and they get to the hotel and they take the door and they find some more evidence, some wrappers from the bank, etc., inside the room, but the bad guy is long gone. Good police work? Yeah, I think so. But it would get even better. And let me tell you this statistic so you'll understand. And you can go look this up. This is no shit. In the United States of America.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The average bank robbery only nets $3,000 to $5,000. The FBI keeps the records on it, right? So at the end of the year, all the bank robberies that happen, it averages out where the bank robbers only get $3,000 to $5,000. I mean, shit, you could get more going to rob a dope dealer on the street corner or going to rob a Burger King or something, and you're liable to get more cash. I mean, it's just a really shitty choice of a place to rob normally, because all the cameras and security systems they have and the dye packs that can explode on you once you get a certain distance from the bank. Well, Bernie didn't have those. If they had, it would have been really easy to identify other people, right? Because those dye packs, they go off after such a distance from the bank, they explode. And that shit, you can't get it off. I mean, it is there like it seeps into your pores. I mean, I don't care if you get acetone and take a shower and you're not getting it off of you. But Hibernia didn't have that. And they didn't have the cameras on the inside. And the robbers were able to get access to the vault, which is just unheard of. But I don't blame the employee for opening the vault. Shit, I'd have done the same thing. And when I train the people, now I do consulting work for large corporations. I tell them the armed robbery happens. Your main goal is to get these people out of the door as quickly as possible. I said, what do you do during an armed robbery? You do whatever the fuck they tell you to do, because your main goal is to get them out the door as quickly as possible. So they were able to access the vault. Now, keep in mind my statistic, the average bank robbery, $3,000 to $5,000. Y'all, you never believe how much money this little Hibernia bank had in this little small town America. The audit was done after the robbery, and I'm rounding it down some, but approximately $353,000 these assholes got away with. Can you believe that? I mean, hell, if I'd have known the cameras weren't working on the inside, if they had $353,000, I might have robbed the fucking place myself. I mean, geez Louise. So they got away with $353,000 and some change. I mean, that's a big score. But they weren't very skilled robbers, if you will, due to the fact that they left a radio behind. The one guy took the time to sexually batter the one bank employee. And as the investigation progressed and the vehicle and all the evidence was collected, their shit was everywhere. The fingerprints, DNA, and then the one dumbass that didn't pull down his mask all the way until he was entering the bank was later identified by a bank employee. So I'm going to stop it there for this week. This is part one of Stick 'Em Up. Now, why would you tune in for part two? Because shit gets stupid. I'll tell you about the rest of the investigation, the apprehensions of the bad guys, the trial, and ultimately the most outrageous appeals process I think that I've ever been involved with or heard of. It's just crazy. So we took a break from murder this week, and we'll conclude Stick 'Em Up next Friday. And I'm telling you, tune into it, listen to it, because you're going to love it. So I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next week, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Thanks. Okay, y'all, I told you before the episode began that I was going to do some shout outs and notifications. And the first thing I want to do is thank everybody for listening to the show. You're unbelievable, amazing. And y'all's response is just almost overwhelming. Our numbers don't lie. We are doing on average over 1,000 downloads a day. So right now, as I'm recording this, we're at 47,000 downloads. By the time you listen to this, I would suspect we'll be over 50,000 downloads in what, 10 or 12 episodes or whatever. It's phenomenal. It's only because y'all are liking and sharing and telling people about us and you're tuning in to listen every week. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And your support of Real Life, Real Crime, it's awesome. Okay. And speaking of supporters, we actually have several new patron members that came on board to support Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast this week. And I'm going to give them a shout out. And y'all, patron is a service where our fans, if they want to, can pledge a certain amount of money a month. And for that, you get certain benefits, right? And tier one is a $2 pledge, and that's a shout out by me and access to the hotline episode, which we dropped, I think, our third one yesterday. And of course, the response has been overwhelming. Tier two is the hotline number, a discount in the store, a shout out, our merchandise store, Real Life, Real Crime. A shout out by me and access to one free, what I call mini episode a month, which we keep under lock and key. And tier three, you get everything from tier one and two, plus you get an additional full bonus episode a month. So, but y'all, it's a way to help us offset some of the costs of doing the podcast. And it's really, really appreciated. I just can't say thanks enough. But we have our new members, Miss Sadie Applefeller from Greensboro, North Carolina. Miss Sadie, I really, really appreciate you taking the time to reach out and support us and make the pledge, and I appreciate it. And then Miss Amy Clement, C-L-E-M-E-N-T, from Livingston, Louisiana. Well, y'all heard me talk about Livingston. That's right here in my backyard. Miss Amy, we really, really appreciate you and really appreciate you supporting us financially. And it's awesome. We love you. Then Miss Stacy Spraulding, S-P-R-A-D-L-I-N-G, from Hallsville, Texas. Miss Stacy, thank you so much for becoming a patron member and supporting Real Life, Real Crime. It's really important to us and I really appreciate it. Thank you. And Miss Alicia Bess, from Cleveland, Ohio. Miss Alicia, I really appreciate you becoming a patron member and supporting Real Life, Real Crime. And Karen Travels. Miss Karen, you're awesome. Thank you so much for supporting us through Patreon on Real Life, Real Crime. I appreciate it. And it really helps us out. We love it. And we love having you as a listener. And Amy Ardon Fowler. Y'all, I worked with Amy and her husband at the sheriff's office for many, many, many years. And more importantly, Amy's father was a detective. When I made detective, he was already a detective, Robert Ardon. And he was just one of the coolest cats you'll ever meet. Never got razzled or dazzled by anything. Taught me a lot of what I know, and a really good cop, really good detective, and funnier than hell. Maybe one day, hopefully, I can get him on. He's retired now. But Robert, hope you're doing well, brother. Love you. So, Amy, thank you for joining Patreon and supporting us. I really appreciate it. And the Firebird up their pledge from a lower tier to our highest tier. And Firebird, I know who you are now, but you know I love you. And I've known you forever, and you're a sweetheart. So that's it on the new patron member pledges. I love y'all, and I appreciate it. All our patron members, thank you so much. It doesn't matter what tier you are. Now, the rest of our fans, if you can't become a patron member, I don't care. I love you anyway, and I thank you for making us such a success. And please, if you want to support the show, you want to help us out in any way,
then just tell somebody about us and like us and share us. And y'all don't forget about our private Facebook page, Real Life, Real Crime, Friends, Fans, and Crew, run by the best team of moderators, my dream team. These ladies are fantastic. And if you're not a member of the page, send a request and they'll get you approved. It's a private page. There's a lot of fan interaction, a lot more episode discussion, a lot of episode promotions and giveaways and things like that. It's really cool. And we're over like 760 members now. And it's been, I think, 2 months. So it's growing rapidly, but go there and use it. And then we created Real Life, Real Crime Lanyap Group. And Lanyap, y'all, is a Cajun word meaning free or bonus or something extra, right? So this is an extra group page. Actually, my wife Cindy created it for our fans because we had such interaction on the crew page. People are just blowing it up. And a lot of our fans have different hobbies or interests or crafts or things that they make or sell. Or like Jenny White from California's husband sent us these coins that he hand engraves and stuff. So we created this page so our fans could get together and share whatever it is that they love. Me, I love hot sauce and beer, and I want to trade it from people, local beers from around the nation or the world. We are 47,000 downloads in 83 countries across the world now. That's 83. So if y'all join that page and you want to trade some beer or hot sauce or local food items or sell whatever you want to sell, that showcase off whatever your hobby is, it's just something Lanyap, extra free or bonus for our fans and another way for them to interact. It's pretty cool. So check it out. And that reminds me that we also have our Lanyap button, y'all. If you want to support Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, and you don't want to do Patreon, totally get it. If you want to make a donation, there's a Lanyap button on the page, and you can donate whatever you want, a dollar up to whatever you want to. And the Lanyap fund, of course, will help us monetarily, but it also gets you an automatic shout out on the very next episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And Patreon members, don't forget about your discount in the merchandise store, y'all. In the merchandise store, we have some really great stuff. It's at rlrcpodcast.com. So go there and check it out. Great stuff. And I know it seems like I'm going on forever, right? Y'all, we have our own YouTube channel now. So you go to YouTube. I didn't know anything about YouTube before we did this. But you go to YouTube and you search Real Life, Real Crime Podcast under channels, and it comes up. And what it is, we have every episode that I've done, plus we have some camera stuff that I've done, some broadcasts from different locations. I did one from Biloxi. I've done one from Natchez, Mississippi. I've done one from Lafayette, Louisiana. Done one from down here at Canal Bank Club, which was the beginning for me for the case Overkill. And so we're going to continue to do that. And we did one from our little favorite Mexican restaurant. So if you want extra bonus material or you want to see us versus just hearing me, then check us out on YouTube and subscribe to it. And then we're also on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, the now three pages on Facebook. So I don't want to take any more of your time. Please tune in next week. This story doesn't have all the violence, et cetera, in it. Stick them up that the other one, our normal episodes do, but wait until you hear the stupidity of our criminal justice system. Sometimes it's going to blow you away. But anyway, I'm your host, Woody Overton. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Until next time, don't let me catch you down on Murder by You. Bye. She do me love, she do me. I love a little woman, she do me love.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.